Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you for the study that you've allowed us to partake of and to learn from and grow from as we've studied John 13 through 17, where we saw how much love your Son has for his disciples and then also for us. And as we take a break from our study, Father, I pray that this would be a time where a fun topic, but one that is challenging, one that is necessary to discuss. I pray that this would be a time that we would be edified and we would be sharpened. I thank you for those that have volunteered to sit up in front of everybody despite their shyness, despite their humility, feeling of inadequacy, to invest in the lives of our younger brothers and sisters. And I pray that it would be a time for them that they would learn and grow, and this would be a time of encouragement for all of us. We ask all these things in your Son's name, by the power of your Spirit. Amen. All right, so before I begin, I want to introduce you, and then I'll let them say a few things, our panel. Now, we do have another one that we'll be calling in. He got caught up with work, so he's going to be a little bit late. He'll be FaceTiming in all the way from Houston, Texas, Dane Drew. He's my best friend, and I can tell you this, he's probably prepared for tonight more than what I have, because that's the way he is. I'm pretty sure he has notes ready to go, so he might even call in while he's driving, I'm not sure. So that's Dane, he'll be up there. Jason Jacobs, if you go to our church, you know Jason, he leads worship for us. If you don't, that's Jason Jacobs.
He leads worship for us.
He leads worship for our church, yeah. Jason is also a guy that, and I know I've told him, we've actually told him and Amy, that we kind of see as parents, younger parents in our church, that are kind of models for us to follow. I know we've shared with them that they should probably consider, you know, ministering to those young, as we get younger couples with kids, people that we look up to. So we've got a star-studded lineup for you tonight. Mr. Chuck Wilson, I know a lot of you have been to Camp Zor. A lot of you probably know Carly, his daughter. And then his other daughter actually teaches at Central High School, Miss Janie.
Oh, she's not Miss Janie.
Miss Allen.
Miss Allen. I call her Janie. But Miss Allen teaches at y'all school. This is Mr. Chuck. And this is a guy that has been influential in my life and a lot of people's lives growing up, you know, at Sunday school at Zora Baptist Church. Unique perspective with him on this panel because he has two daughters that are married. And so he not only has he gone through this, but he's also led two of his daughters through this process of teenage years, college years, dating, and then eventually to marriage. And then my friend Jesse McGee. This is somebody that I've been a part of his life, and we've grown together. We're kind of in the same stage of life as newlyweds, and so he's going to be able to share that insight for us. So we've got different perspectives here for you, and the way we're going to do this is I'm going to facilitate the discussion. I've got some questions. They've prepared a little bit where I've sent it to them 24 hours in advance so they can kind of look over and think about it. But we're also going to have a time for you to ask any questions. I will say to them, and I've shared this with them, I've told them to open up personally as much as they feel comfortable. This is recorded, but we're going to edit it. So if there are things that you don't want to be recorded but that you think would be beneficial, we'll cut that out of the video and record it. Same thing with y'all. If there's something that's specific that you want to ask, and I know a lot of y'all are, there's no way I'm going to ask anything way too personal in front of this group. I would encourage you to do so, because when you're thinking of something and you're afraid to ask, I guarantee you somebody else in the group is probably thinking of something, because we're all going through similar things. And so it's a time for us to learn and grow with each other. And so, that being said, I'm going to go ahead and open it up, and Jason, why don't you start? Just say, you know, introduce yourself, maybe kind of give, you know, your family background.
Well, hey guys, you know my name. You know that I lead worship here. I started with Central Bible Church when they actually first started in Holmes. What was that, 4 years ago or so?
Five.
Yeah. I grew up in church. My parents had me there at a young age, from the time I can remember. And the Lord saved me 5 years ago. So just because you grow up in church and you do churchy things, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are definitely a Christian. I have a whole really awesome testimony I'd love to share with you guys later if you're interested. I'm married to a wonderful woman. Her name is Amy. Most of y'all know her. We have three beautiful kids. We've got an 8-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And we've been married coming up on 13 years now. So it's been an awesome adventure.
This is Chuck.
All right, I'm Chuck Wilson. My wife is Jean. She couldn't be here tonight, but I think she'll be here next week on the panel of ladies. So she'll probably be a lot more entertaining than me. She's a lot more outgoing. I'm more quiet and reserved. But we've been married 32 years. Next month will be 32 years. We have two daughters who he's introduced already, Janie and Carly. Have two grandchildren who you forgot to mention. So, Parker and Jude, you know, and they mean a lot to us. It's special to be a part of their life as much as we are. And of course, I informed him when he first asked me that, you know, I am not an expert on this, and I'm here to give you some insight and share some things with you. But I am by far an expert, and I mean, like I said, it'll be 32 years next month and still learn things every day as far as, you know, marriage and what it's all about and your family and, you know, things, your roles change as you mature and grow older. And, you know, I'm a grandparent now, so a little bit different perspective there. My granddaughter will never date.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting to look back in life and see. I've known my wife since we were little. We grew up together in church, and she'll probably tell you this. At age 12, she told her mother that she was going to marry me. So, but it was, you know, eight years later before that actually happened. But there's no doubt in my mind that she is the one that God created for me. That's what's so special in my marriage, is that I know that God provided her for me, you know, no doubt. I did date a few girls, kind of serious before that, but she was the one that God created for me, and I think he used those other relationships to prepare me for, you know, the one he had for me. So.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jesse. My wife's name is Amy.
Right on.
I grew up in a typical church family. I've got one sister. She's younger than I am. Me and my wife met I went to a different school than most of the people I went to church with. I went to Live Oak and went to Zor, so all my friends went to Central. But she was friends with all my church friends, so that's kind of how we met. And we started dating in high school. Our senior year, dated for a couple of years, we were engaged for a couple of years, now we've been married for 3 years. So, pretty new to all this. Don't have any kids. Don't have plans for any in the near future. Those of you that know us know that I'm very adamant about that.
And I'll introduce Dane to you, so that way he doesn't have to do it later. Dane recently got married.
Wait, that might be him.
No way.
That's dangerous.
Okay, I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of info on him. Dane lives in Houston, Texas with his new wife, Kendall, who they started dating in college.
Shoot me a text.
I can tell you, I don't want to give too much of their relationship background because I'm hoping he kind of shares it with you, but
okay. Right.
Dane has always been very intentional in the girls that he was interested in. Okay. So he's coming from a very fresh perspective. But I can tell you this, Dane, besides one other guy that I know of, Dane probably prepared the most as well as he could, and we can't prepare enough, for marriage. And he took dating very seriously. And so a lot of you may know Dane goofy, making jokes, yelling at the TV at the LSU game and dancing around. But Dane also is very serious about a lot of things. And this is one of those things that he's very serious about. And so when I asked him to do this, Dane said, I've always wanted to talk about this. And so he may have a book written on dating. I'm serious, because I sent him that email, and after he picked his intro music, which I'm not sure if he plans on doing, he said that he's writing down notes so that he has something to go by whenever he's doing this. So I just want you to see the panel that you have. And I'm going to add some things, not too much, because you guys hear from me all the time. I'm just here to facilitate the discussion.
I think it's extremely important, although when I was in that stage, I didn't look at it that way. Amy was the only person I've ever dated. So all through high school, I never dated anyone or anything like that. And all of my friends always had some significant other, so I was always that weird guy that was always by himself in the big groups. And it's really easy to take a look at that and look at that as a very negative thing, because like you see what everyone else has and you want that. And looking back on it now, I wasted a lot of time harping with myself on the fact that I didn't have what they had and I was coveting what they had, when I should have been taking that time and really focusing on, that's the only time in your life where you're going to have significant time to focus on you and God and no one else. That's something I wish I had really taken notice of at the time. I really feel like that was a very, there's a lot of potential for a lot of growth there that didn't happen for me, and which would have in turn prepared me for dating and for marriage and stuff like that. So I think it's extremely important, because I can see where I didn't take advantage of that time.
Ms. Chuck?
Thinking back when I was single, high school days, when I say single, I'm thinking starting at kind of dating age, 15, 16. I think it's very important during those days to focus on God and to allow Him to develop you and show you, you know, what He wants to do in life. I was very involved in my high school days with FCA. I was the president of my chapter at Broadmoor, and got to go on a couple of conferences in the summertime with FCA that were really awesome. I was also very involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. We were very active in the Broadmoor school, and we had meetings during the week. So for me, it was a time for me to focus on God, and like I said, I had a lot of avenues to allow me to do that. And I had about six of us that ran around together, six guys, you know, we're all kind of single, and I was kind of the one that kept us all in line. There would be times where we'd be out doing something and they'd want to do something a little bit offline, and I'd say, okay, y'all can just let me out. You know, pull over. It's time for me to get out. And I walked home a couple of times, you know. But most of the time, you know, they said, okay, we're not going to do this, you know. So I think it's important for you to figure out who you are and what you want to do for God. And you don't have the distraction of worrying about a girl and what you're going to do for her and, you know, what y'all going to do this weekend and all that kind of stuff. But being single in that part of your life as a young teenager is important, because it allows you to focus on Him and to build a relationship with Him, and He'll prepare you, you know, for things to come. If, you know, I know part of the information that David sent us is talking about, you know, God calls some people to be single. I'm not going to be able to give you much advice in that area because I've never felt that as a calling in my life. You know, I dated a few girls and God had one created for me. So that was special. And growing up with her, and the other part I want to say about single, before you get into dating, the big thing about me and my wife, we were good friends. So I married my best friend. You know, I knew her from little bitty. Her brother and I were close friends. And then it wasn't until we were a little older that we kind of got to where we were doing things together more and more. And then we actually started dating after knowing her for, you know, pretty much all my life. So, but as far as the singleness, you know, for me, it was a time to focus on God so He could prepare me to, you know, to be married.
I think, looking back, that I didn't spend enough time, like Jesse said, I didn't spend enough time focusing on my relationship with Christ, because I played a good church game. You know, let me tell you what kept me in line growing up. It wasn't trying to please the Lord. It was fear of my dad. I mean, we knew it was right and wrong. And I didn't want to do what was wrong because I didn't want the wrath of Dad. Okay, so that's what kept me in line. Not so much a love for Christ, but a fear. And I'm not saying I was like scared he was going to beat me. That's not what it was. We just respect my dad a lot. I still do. So I was a good kid. I mean, people looked at me in my life, they would say, oh, that's a good, Jason's a good guy. He's a good kid. And so, I played a good game. So my focus was in the wrong place for most of my life, especially as being single. But looking back, and if I could give my young self advice, it would be, well, first of all, I matured really, really late. My voice didn't change until 10th grade. So I was like really, really shy, really introverted for a long time. You can imagine, I don't know if any of you guys have that experience, but most of my friends, you know, were growing beards. I was still talking like a little girl. You know? So it was kind of hard for me to work on me and develop me and figure out who I was, because I didn't even know. And so I didn't really start getting a sense of who I was and what I wanted to do until I was like in college. I mean, I really didn't even date until I graduated high school. I mean, I took people to homecoming, but it was like girls took me to homecoming. Like, they asked me out. I was always the shy guy. And so it was kind of an awkward high school time. So I didn't really start being single, like if you want to call it that, and doing the dating thing until college. And my focus was completely in the wrong place. I mean, I wasn't a Christian. I had the wrong ideals. I had the wrong... I was pursuing things in the wrong way. But for you guys, your focus should be on developing who you are in Christ, in Jesus. And so, we'll get to this later in some of the questions. I don't want to give any spoilers here. But with regard to dating, I don't think you should. I think you should do what's called courting. You know, the old days, like Andy Griffith days. Y'all know who Andy Griffith is, by the way? Okay, just... we're like, Andy Griffith? Anyway, the courting thing, I think that's where you should be focused when it comes time for that. There was a second part of that question. What was that?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
How is it important?
Did I cover everything?
I'll go ahead and, since Dane's not here to answer this one yet, I'm going to go ahead and answer just a little bit. I think basically what they're saying, it's really important as a young believer, because by nature of your age, if you're a believer, you're going to be a young believer. It's very important. It's very important to, and I actually got this. I didn't realize this until college, but it was actually a lady from Jesse's church who Dane is very fond of also.
Megan Kelly.
She spoke at our college group, And she talked about finding your identity in Christ. And that's where this comes in. It's so important at your stage in life, if you are single right now, and if you're dating also, but for the single people, to know that your identity is in Christ, not in somebody's boyfriend, not in somebody's girlfriend, not in being a cheerleader or a football player or being an athlete or being on some club or being smart. It's none of that. Because if you place your identity in that, guess what, guys? A lot of you are about to graduate high school. That goes away. And I'm telling you from personal experience, when your identity, my identity was the football player, the smart person, the Christian student, all these things. And when you go away to college and all of that's gone, you have an identity crisis. And then you start trying to find yourself in other things. But if you develop this stage in your life and you place your identity in Christ, then no matter what stage of life you're going through, that's your foundation. And I think that's the kind of what we've heard from them tonight, is that.
I believe what Paul's focus was there was that he was allowed to give his whole life to Christ and devote himself totally to Christ and allow him to use him in any way, whatever, and not have the distraction of a wife, a family, and those things that definitely take time and commitment to be a part of. So Paul chose to be solely sold out to Christ, and that was his, I guess, so-called bride, you know, and just like Christ chose to be the bride of the church, you know, and he did everything for the church, you know, his love was for the church, he served others, and he gave his life, you know, so that we can have a life in him. But I think, like I said earlier, me personally, you know, I've never felt like I would be single. You know, I felt like God had somebody from the beginning. It was just a matter of time until I woke up and realized, you know, the one he's had for me has been in my life since I was, you know, a little bit. I don't want to get off the subject. I just want to say this. I believe you don't really have to go looking for that person that God has for you. I believe God is going to bring that person into your life. You know, you don't have to go search in places that you shouldn't. You know, God is going to bring that person to you through the life that he wants you to live. You know, and if you're following him and seeking him, believe me, he's going to put that person in your life. If he has, you know, allowed you to be married. You know, again, I don't know why there's a person in this room I feel like that probably could be up here tonight, and I felt like he probably would be, but he's not. He's sitting back in the back. You know, super guy, super guy. God has called him to be single to this point in his life. You know, he's nearly my age, but God is using him in a different way. So.
Well, obviously, when you have a family, and when you have a wife and you have children, and then you're also committed to serving in a church, the commitment that comes first is your wife and your children. And so that takes precedent, whatever. It's more important than serving. Not that serving isn't important, but you have a an oath, a vow to your wife. It's a special kind of oath, a special kind of vow, a special commitment to take care of them and their needs first. That comes as primary. And so there's a lot of opportunities that come up here at Central Bible Church or in any church where, for example, the mission trip that you guys are going on. I would love to do that. I'd do it in a heartbeat, man. There's no way in the world I could do that, though. I have a wife and I have young children at home. I'm not about to leave them. How long are they going to be gone? I'm not going to leave them for 10 days. I can't do that. We're so dependent upon one another, and our lives are so intertwined that there's no way at this point in our relationship that I can do that to her. Or to me. I can't do it to me. So that's I mean, I've got to think about those things before I can make any commitments to anything else. So it's not that it's a hindrance to service. It's not that it's a burden. It's not that at all. It's just that you're limited with what you can and can't do for with regard to serving the church and serving Christ.
Jesse.
I'm going to say a lot of things that Jason said. My personality is very much, I'm a very involved, constantly got to be doing something person. So I can see where Paul says that's the better thing, because your life, whenever you become married, at least for me, I'm not a parent yet, but your life revolves around serving your family, not serving the other people in the body of Christ. That's a secondary. Whereas I'm very much, I want to be in the middle of everything involved with the church, whether it's mission trips, regular trips, work days, whatever, I want to do it. And that's something that has actually been a struggle in our marriage, is learning for me to pull those reins back on myself, because I'll catch myself wanting to serve everyone else before I want to serve Amy. And that's something that my personality that is going to be a struggle until I learn how to lock that down. Whereas with what Paul was saying, that it's better because he's able to serve more people that way and better serve the body of Christ that way by constantly devoting his life to the service of the church rather than the service of a small group being his primary focus. Basically,
Dane, you ready?
Yeah, I gotta figure out how to use FaceTime.
Okay. You can just call me. Yeah, you're on.
Can you see me?
Yeah. We got you.
Can you see my face?
Why, just speak generally, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, he talks
about. Yeah, I got you.
All right, got it.
Sorry. I don't mean to be rude. That will come later. What have you learned about me?
So I guess for me, I was kind of one of the rare people who thought that passage applied to me. I remember being young and thinking that I kind of wanted to be single. I didn't date anybody until I was old, or old by your standards. Not old by like John Hurt's standards. old for our standards. And so I guess really it's like, I always think that passage is something that's just like a really practical text, not like a, you're more spiritual if you're single. I used to always think that. So once again, I'm offending John Hurt. But there really is just a lot of, I just echo a lot of what the other guys said. You have a lot more, today is the day in your life where you'll have the most free time that you'll ever have. Like from now on out, and I remember people telling me that when I was in high school, and these old parts told me that. But the more you have going on in your life, the less time that you'll have to devote to whatever it is that you want. And so now is the time where you're most free to be able to do whatever it is, not even just spiritual things. But I think it is a lot more challenging. And I've only been married for 6 months, or 7 months. The other guys can speak to it a lot more, but I think there's just in my notes. Yeah, you have a lot more time now than you will. Like once you've got more time, more resources. You have less worries and concerns, and you can kind of focus on whatever you want. But for me, I found that there's a lot of things that being married I wouldn't have learned if I would have been single my whole life. So. I guess that's my view on the text. This is not the supreme holiness that you have if you're single. It's just a really practical matter.
Yeah. And just to be clear for anybody who does not know that passage, Paul actually says this is counsel. This is his advice. And in verse 32, he says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And that's kind of what we've heard from all of us, really, is that is always on the forefront of your mind, at least it should be, if you're going to be a husband?
Well, just straight up, guys. When you date, you essentially isolate yourself and you go do something together, and you're alone together. Maybe you go to the movies, but at some point on the date, you're alone. That's not a good idea. I mean, you guys have hormones that are just raging through your bodies. I wouldn't put myself in that position, and I don't have twice the hormones you guys have. It's just foolish to do that, I think. I wasn't safe at that point. And so it honestly didn't matter too much to me. And I didn't look at it that way. But let's just say that I was single right now. Although I've only been saved for 5 years, I'd like to think that I'm strong enough that I wouldn't fall into sexual temptation. But I'm not. What I wouldn't do for myself, I wouldn't put myself in the situation where I could. Even as a married guy, let's just say that there was a woman in the band or praise team. Somebody she wanted to sing harmony, or she needed help. I wouldn't meet up here with her by myself. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put myself in that situation. Even though I consider myself a strong Christian, I would not do that. And you guys shouldn't do that either. I mean, just giving you some advice, some wisdom. Don't do that. If you want to go out to the movies and you want or whatever, go with a group. Do a double date, and do it. Like, for example, maybe you meet your buddy and you go pick up the girls, and then you drop the girls off when you're done and you bring your buddy home. That way, you're never alone in the car. Because anything can happen anywhere, and you just don't put yourself in that situation. Courting. I think courting is awesome. Do y'all know what that is? What courting is? I don't think I know. Okay, the old days when two people liked each other and they were considering one another for marriage, and they wanted to spend time together, they didn't go out on a date. You know, back in talking like in the maybe the 30s and 40s, before rock and roll, they would go. You ever heard of a sitting room or a love seat? You've heard of a love seat? Okay. People used to have sitting rooms in their houses where if you liked a girl, you'd invite her over, you'd have dinner together with the parents, and then you'd retire to the sitting room where you'd sit together on a love seat, okay? And you would you'd spend time together one-on-one, but there were no closed doors. So the family could walk in, you know, troublesome little brother could walk in. You know, anybody could walk in, so you weren't tempted to do something impure. So you got to know each other. People didn't go on dates way back in the old days. That's a modern concept. And so the idea of dating is something that is cultural, and I think it's wrong for a Christian, because there's so much recreational dating, I think, is wrong. But if you're pursuing someone with the purpose of marriage, then you should do it in a way that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord, and is full of wisdom.
Dane, unpause yourself. There you go.
I'm still trying to figure out how to work FaceTime.
So, did you want me to go so I'd be in direct contrast with what Jason said?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Well, good. So, I guess the last line, what Jason said, I would agree with wholeheartedly, which is date for a purpose. So, what I have written down in my notes is... I'm giving you a tour of my house as well. And what I have written down on my notes is don't date in the definition that you would call dating, or what I guess the culture calls dating. I don't really know what dating is. I don't really know what courting is, but I don't really know much about anything in terms of relationships, I guess. But one thing I would strongly recommend is, like I said earlier, I didn't date anybody until I was 20. And I still feel like I may have been too young. And I'm not super dumb or anything. I saw a lot of people start dating when they were younger, and I saw them make a lot of dumb mistakes, and so I really wanted to avoid that. So one of the things I did is I didn't date until I was older. I could have. I probably could even kiss the girl on the mouth, you know, but I didn't want to do that I didn't want to be involved in dating until I understood a lot more of what other people, a lot more about what it should be like for me. I guess, like, whenever you're thinking about dating, what is the reason you want to date? And for most people, they would say a lot of different things, but the main reason they want to date somebody is because of their insecurity, or they want to, everybody else is doing it. Gosh, that sounds so old. Everybody else is doing it. But it's reasons other than what I think we should be pursuing as single folks, which is trying to find your spouse. So you can do a lot of things to try to determine who your spouse would be that doesn't look anything like cultural dating, I guess. But, I mean, for me, me and Kim Bull, or my, now my wife, I mean, we dated for many years, I guess. We were older, so we had a lot of friends who had fallen into a lot of sin and temptation and, you know, knew some of the pitfalls. I would say if you're going to date, don't do it like it's typically done, but I wouldn't say you shouldn't date. But at the same time, my definition of dating would probably be a lot more like courting.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to sit down, like, I love sitting down and talking with my wife. If you don't want to do that with somebody that you want to date, then you shouldn't be dating that person. Because one day, you're going to be old, you're going to smell funny, you're going to look ugly. You've got to enjoy hanging out with that person and being with that person, not centered around activities. So, gosh, I do sound old. Goodness, I'm going to sound old all night. I was supposed to be young, good dude. I'm giving up on that.
Jesse.
Question.
If it's better to be single, then should we date at all? And if so, what should it look like? How should we do it?
I guess I'm somewhere in between both of them. Like I said, Amy's the only person I ever dated, and I always said, oh my gosh, dang.
Hey, you're making a lot of noise. Thank you.
I've always said that I wanted to date for the purpose of finding a wife, but probably didn't really mean it. But like Mr. Chuck said, like, he wholeheartedly believes that this gene was made for him. I believe Amy was made for me, and I believe that she was brought into my life when she was supposed to. Because we had the same friend groups for years, but never actually really ever met, which was really weird, until right before we graduated high school. We just kind of happened to meet each other, even though we inadvertently were hanging out for years. We just never really knew each other. So I think God's going to bring the correct person in your life in his timing. And I completely agree with the Dane's view of dating, which is pretty much Jason's view of courting. I think they're the same thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pitfalls that we fell into. I mean, we were always, when we started off dating, we thought we were doing it the right way and stuff, but there's a lot of things that you tell yourself that, no, I would never do that, and you find yourself 6 months down the road, you're doing that. And so don't ever let yourself believe the lie that you won't fall into that sin, because you can. Not saying that you will, but it's always that possibility. And for most of the people I know, if you leave that door open, you will probably walk through it. Mm-hmm. And that's the best advice I can give, is don't ever have the option of being able to walk through a door that you shouldn't be walking through.
Mr. Tuck.
As far as dating, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about dating. That's what makes it difficult. If you Google search Christian teen dating, there's a lot of sites out there, and they just go from one extreme to the other. And on these websites, talking like Focus on the Family, Bill Rainey, you know, whoever you go to and look at, there's always a different perspective. But several of the scriptures that I just want to share, the first one in Genesis, all the way back right after God created man and woman. He said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And then again, in Matthew chapter 19, a little bit earlier than what we have already talked about, Jesus repeated that same scripture. And he just said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate.'" You know, these are some of the scriptures that you can find as far as when you try to research dating from a Christian standpoint. But as far as dating, I believe dating is a part of leading to marriage. It could be in the form of courtship. I know several families who have followed the courtship guidelines. And in fact, my wife has a first cousin who has 13 children. And his daughters, we attended one of his first daughters to be married. And that was the first time she held hands with her future husband, is when he gave her hand to her future husband at the altar. Now, that's the extreme, you know. They were together in groups, church functions, choir camps, very active in their church. But, I mean, it was completely different from what I grew up and what I experienced with raising two daughters. You know, I believe that you kids, you know, I don't think you need to date just one person at this age. I think it's good to spend time, you know, maybe with a female friend or a male friend. I'm speaking from the male point of view. But, you know, it's good to have a friend in the opposite sex. And it's good to do things together. Because I think this is part of when you learn to what it means to respect a person. You have to learn to respect her as who she is. And there are boundaries that you need to set early. If you are going to date somebody, when you do start dating somebody, you need to set those boundaries. And you need to be firm in those. And it's going to be difficult. But you don't allow yourself to get in situations to where you're going to cross those boundaries. You know, both of my girls had several boyfriends before they met their husbands. I had a couple of talks with a couple of guys that came to the house. And I always sat them down, and you know, they were usually sitting on the couch together, and I'd always say, "You always need to leave enough room between the two of you for Jesus. You know, you don't need to be all over each other. You need to allow Jesus to be a part of that relationship and to be right in between y'all, not on the side of y'all or behind y'all." You know, it's very important to, you know, go into a relationship learning to respect that person. You know, a key thing to me that God is just really showing me now in my 32 years of marriage is you need to learn to honor that person in everything you do. Whether you're with her or away from her, you always need to think about what I'm doing today. I'm going to honor my wife. You know, and that, if you think about that, you know, that's going to protect you and keep you from doing things you shouldn't do. If you always think about the relationship you're in, you know. And recently read a quote from Ruth Graham, Dr. Billy Graham's wife. She said that a marriage is a union between two forgiving people. And that's another big part of a relationship. You got to learn to give and forgive. You got to learn to respect and honor. You know, and you can do all of these things through dating. Now, whether it's the courtship extreme or the dating extreme, but the other, I don't want to take up too much time, but the other thing that you need to learn and understand is you need to respect your parents through your dating years. You know, I recently, I don't know if any of y'all are Facebook friends with Carly. She recently posted something like 10 things she was thankful for. And one of the things she said she was thankful for was all the times that her parents told her, no, you couldn't go there. And most of those times involved going with a guy or going to a place that we felt like you had no business being there. You know, it just wasn't a good situation. So you need to learn to respect your parents. You're not going to always want to do what they want you to do, but you need to have them involved in your dating. If they're not, go to them. You know, ask them, what do you think? You know, should I go here with my boyfriend, or, you know, what should I do? You know, let them, if they're not involved in your life, get them involved in your life. You know, have them help you and guide you, because I'm sure they have some experiences that they probably may not be proud of, you know, but make them help you out if they're not involved in your life. You know, I was reading on the internet, Bill Rainey, when one of his daughters got to the dating age, he had an opportunity, he wanted to ask her, had she ever thought about how far she would go in a relationship with a guy before marriage? And, you know, he was driving home and he, you know, told her he wanted her to ask her something. And she said, well, yeah, go ahead. So he did. Well, she didn't want to answer him right then. And he said, okay, I accept that for an answer for now. But the thing about it is, as young women, and my wife will probably share next week more on this, because she had both of our daughters do this, is you need to know what you want in a guy. And make a list. And just, believe it or not, just in this past 2 weeks, my wife sent the list that she had Carly write out, what she wanted in a guy, and sent it to her. And, you know, to show her, you know, because you don't want to settle for less than what God wants for you. And you want to have that perfect person, even though he's not going to be perfect. But you want, you know, as many of the qualities in a guy that you really think you want, you need to go for that. And if it's not all there, don't settle. I believe God has that person for you. I believe God places on your heart the person that he has for you. And if you know what that person is supposed to be like, you'll know him when you see him or her. So, but dating, you know, it's not easy, especially on the parent end of it. So that's why I say respect your parents if they tell you no. You know, you shouldn't do that. You know, we don't think that's right. So don't get upset with
it. Now, I don't want to take too much longer, real quick. I just want you to think about Jason's right. Dating, in the context of what we know it as, is a very modern concept. But I want you to think about this institution of dating. What do you do? You go out on a date, maybe one, maybe two, maybe you go on multiple, but you're with a person for 6 months and you break up. I mean, how many of us have ever been broken up with or broken up with somebody? What is the purpose of dating?
To prepare yourself for marriage, like to learn.
You date for marriage. That's the end goal in mind. We're not just, as Christians, we should never just be casually dating people. Now, with what Mr. Chuck said about doing things with other people, go for it. Hang out with groups of guys and girls. Do it all together. That's kind of like, I think all of us have the same kind of idea of what dating is. And courtship on the extreme, because I know of some families that do that also, that's an extreme. And it's not something probably a becoming father in the future. I'm not opposed to it right now. But if the end goal is marriage, and what we see dating is date, break up, what are we preparing ourselves for? Get married, get divorced. Get married, get divorced. And that's what we see in the world. We get so callous to this idea of a relationship and how, oh, well, I can break up with this person tomorrow. And the world now tells us that in marriage, you can divorce that person tomorrow if they don't make you happy. And we're going to go on a little bit later and talk about what that actually is in marriage within the Christian definition. But I just want you to get that idea of, don't get caught into what the world tells you is dating. Take this advice from godly men who have been down this road. Some of us have made mistakes, and some of us were wiser in, you know, I dated girls before Natalie. And I broke up with them. Actually, they all broke up with me. well, I broke up with one.
Yes.
But, you know, that's kind of where we're going. Now, let's go ahead and jump into dating.
David, I wanted to make one more point. I know we're running short on time, but, you know, I guess we all talked about sexual sin to some degree. But there's a lot of other things that you don't want to deal with if you're dating without a purpose behind it. So you're going to have a lot of other intimacy that you shouldn't be having outside of the dating relationship, like emotional. It screws up your view of yourself. It takes away a lot of your time, and it messes up a lot of your friendships if you aren't dating intentionally. So it's not just a sex thing. And you've heard that your whole life. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want us to beat that in tonight. That'd be the only thing we talk about. There's a lot of other issues and pitfalls you fall into if you're dating without a purpose, or if you're dating with a purpose and you aren't doing it correctly, I guess. So I didn't want that point to go by, so that's one of my soapboxes.